And so the point here again is that his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. So if he can't kill you, he's going to rob you. And if he can't rob you, then he's going to try to destroy things as much as possible. Just similar to what you see taking place in between Ukraine and Russia, where a lot of the fighting is taking place, just destroying people's property. They're not military targets, but just destroying that. And so you begin to see another manifestation of how the enemy works. So I am saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that when we study the scripture, then it is our responsibility to seek the Lord in such a way that we'll find the wisdom keys in how to receive from him. Because it is his good will to give us the kingdom. It is his desire for us to live an abundant life. Somehow that has turned upside down, but we need to correct that. We need to point this thing out on a regular basis. I was talking to this gentleman and I was saying to him, I don't think anybody, at least in their right mind, would argue against salvation. You know, they say, well, we have saved enough people, no more. That's it, no more. You know, we have enough. No, you never hear anybody talk like that. They always say, okay, you can still come to the Lord. And that is true. Once you're willing to repent, yes, you can still come to the Lord. But when it comes to the other provisions that God has made, like in peace, well, you hear expressions like, he's not going to give you more than you can bear. Not realizing that it's the enemy that is giving them this thing. We need to, you know, focus and look at the scriptures carefully to recognize where the enemy is running rampant and tricking the people and fooling them here and there. They talk about healing, and you have many who have, well, you never know what he could do. Well, I'm telling you, we do know, because it's in his word, it's written. You don't have to take my word for it, just look at the scripture. And many of us, of course, everybody online, I'm sure we are in agreement along that line, but my point is, when you share this with others, you know, you have to stress this, that they need to look at the scriptures for themselves and prove it. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And you'll find that provision is available just as much as salvation is available. Just as much as your provision for your material needs. He said he will supply all our needs, not some, all. And so we need to grasp these things, ladies and gentlemen. And so here it is. Now we're looking at it, and we're just going to look at some key. And again, one of the main points we focused on earlier in the introduction is that faith must be applied. Well, where do you get this faith? Well, yes, faith is a gift of God. That's true. He gives us a token when we start, but from then on, now you're going to have to develop. And so faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so you're going to have to apply yourself then to do what? Study the scriptures. Look, search, seek, knock. Don't expect it's not going to just fall in your lap. No, you have to drill down. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to meditate. Study it on a regular basis. And you'll find that by reason of use, your senses are going to be exercised to recognize the difference between good and evil. And of course, the point is that it goes without saying, you're going to choose what is good. You're going to abandon the evil. That's the idea. Now, I want to go ahead and point out again that our faith begins with the promises of God. If he doesn't promise it, you can't have faith for it. Because you're believing his promises. And so it begins and it ends with the promises of God. Well, how do you know what the promises are? Well, you have to study the scripture. So in any particular area in which you are trying to receive from the Lord supernaturally, then we need to search the scriptures to see what it says about that topic. And if you don't can't find enough for yourself, enough information, then go ahead and ask, you know, somebody else in the church, you know, preferably the pastor. But you should have other confidence that you could talk with from time to time and pray with an agreement. And you'll find that if you search the scriptures, you'll find that there are a lot of promises. There are a whole lot. Now, I didn't look at it, by the way, this way before 2017. Yes, I had a lot of understanding, and I looked at things from an academic perspective. But personally, that's when I really started to drill down and really at least make a marked change. Now, was I receiving answers to promises before that and prayers? Yes. But I drilled down a little further, and boy, did the enemy attack me. And that's when I come to the realization, hey, there are deeper levels of understanding. Yes, I knew of it academically, but experientially, I didn't. Well, starting in 2017, that's when it came to my understanding, August 1st. And we have been pressing through ever since. And I encourage everybody to press through. Yes, the enemy is going to come at you, but don't be concerned about him. You just keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will guide you, and he will lead you into all truth. Not some, all. So I was just saying, your faith begins and ends with the promises of God. And so we must know, or at least hear, about the promises of God. Think about it. Where in the scripture does it say you should go and touch the hem of Jesus' garment? No, we can't do that, spiritually speaking, now. But the lady in Matthew chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, you read that those verses, you begin to see that she made a promise to herself. If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole. That's what the scripture says she declared. She made that declaration. And of course, there were a lot of people around him at the time, but she pressed through. Did she receive her healing? Yes, she did. She made that declaration. But where is it written that you should do that? See, she was observing what was happening to other people. She was recognizing what, you know, was going on. And somehow the word had got out that there's that man named Jesus. You come and touch him. Oh boy, whatever problem you have, it's gone. And so people were beginning to recognize that they could go ahead and do these things. And so they pressed through. She developed some wisdom key there. And so she made up her mind beforehand. If I only just touch him, I know it. And therefore, she'd make up her mind she's going to touch him. What about that gentleman with the four crazy friends? The ones who come and took off the roof of the house where Jesus was. Well, they made up their mind. They're not going back home. Yes, there were a lot of people there, and you couldn't go through the door. You couldn't come anywhere near him, and so they took off the roof and let him down by a rope. I mean, they really meant business. They're not going back home with him the way they came with him. I like that kind of operation. So the point here is, ladies and gentlemen, is that they hear the promises somewhere, and then they believe the promises. And when I say believe, it means that you're willing to act on it. And so, when you act on it, then God fulfills his part. Now, think about it. Jesus asked, who touched me? He didn't stop to pray for this lady. There was a crowd there, but he knew power went out of him. What transpired there? How did she get healed? Well, it's not by laying on of hands. It's not by, you know, prayer of agreement. It's not by prayer of faith. What we find is that the glory was there. There are times when the glory just manifests. And you have to have a certain environment for that to happen. We'll talk about that in another study. But my point was that that is how she got healed. Now, all of them were effectively just the same way. It's just a measure of how much faith is being applied. So what I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that we need to have a basic understanding of these things so that we'll know which method we're going to use to seek or to receive from him, and then we're going to pursue it. Now, we've talked about this before, but I guess it's bear repeating. You know, we must hear about the promises. We're going to know about it from the Word by study or somebody telling us about it, that we check it out for ourselves so that we can then start to exercise faith on our behalf. And of course, we have now received that understanding and believe and expect it. Now, of course, expectation goes along with that. You know, when you go into your car and you turn the key, you don't have doubt about the car cranking. No, you turn the key. Now, if it doesn't crank, then you go look to see if there's a battery connected or something of that nature. But you get the idea. You go with that understanding, that expectation. Well, the same way we go to the Lord, we expect the same way we should. And so part of what we do, and Brother Thomas, he likes to use that expression, you know, he says, water the Word. Well, how are we going to do that? You get the promises, and then you're going to find associated scriptures that help you along the way where you're going to go ahead and build your spirit man up. So I want to go ahead and I'm just giving you the overview. We're going to drill down and look at some scriptures in just a minute. But I want us to just get a foundational, grasp of where we're going tonight. Because the point is this, we need to apply this now more than ever. How to receive from the Lord. I found myself in a situation lately where I need to study these things again and look at it again to make sure, because my God, I need healing from the Lord. And I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about right away. And so my point is that I'm pressing through. I'm on my way. I'm receiving some already, and I expect more. And so I am saying I am living what I am actually trying to share with you. And I want to encourage all of us to develop ourselves along this line so that we then in times of need can receive also from the Lord. So I just thought I'd go ahead and start this introduction tonight about how to receive from the Lord by just giving us some foundational things. We're going to go ahead and continue, but I'm going to open the floor at this point for anyone who have any questions, comments, or suggestions. Thank you so much.
I was just thinking, you mentioned about the promises. That's how we're able to increase our faith. Because it said faith comes by hearing, hearing by God's Word. If we never hear the Word of God, then you're challenged to believe. And if you have others planting seeds of doubt in your heart and mind, learning what God has promised, then, you know, that's what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to receive the power and the Word of God's kingdom to receive those blessings.
He certainly doesn't. And so we have to be mindful of that. And, you know, I recall I was getting ready to pray for somebody some years ago, and there was another gentleman who was saying, well, what happened if it doesn't work? And I didn't need anybody to answer him. I just looked at him. And did they receive? Yes. But my point was, there, the enemy was just there busy trying to distract me. And so, you know, he's subtle in that respect. And so we have to be cognizant of it. In the Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Here it is, we know what the scripture says. The Bible tells you. He says we were by his stripes we were healed. We read and we see where it is very clear that it is the will of God for us to receive, just like it is the will of God for us to receive salvation. Now, is everybody receiving salvation? No. Is everybody receiving healing? No. A lot of people don't believe some of what we're talking about here. Some have doubts. Some of you have been twisted and so on. But it's not that God hasn't provided for us. It is that we don't know how to receive or even understand that we can receive. So he's saying in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That's serious instructions, or I should say wisdom key, that we should take into consideration. Don't have doubts. Don't throw away your confidence. The rewards are, you know, great, and you can miss out if you throw those away. Look at the next verse. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So you know you're doing your part, you do what you're supposed to do, and you're confident that God is going to come through on your behalf. That is what your faith is telling you that is what the promise Bible says, that is what you're believing. And that is why you made the decision, your declaration, that you're going to stand on His promises. Yes, that's why we sing the song. We're standing on His promises. And so here it is, in the book of Hebrews, he's telling us in verse 35, chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, that we shouldn't cast away our confidence, but hold on, you know, be patient, even though it may be a little, there may even be a fight in the spirit realm, where the enemy is there trying to interfere with angels that have been sent to assist you, as it was in Daniel's case. For 21 days, they were fighting. Did Daniel stop fasting? No, he just kept on praying, fasting. And of course, after a while, this angel came and said, hey, from day one, I was dispatched with the prince of Persia. He's been there fighting against me, and Michael had to call for backup. Michael came to rescue, help me break through, and here I am come to tell you and give you the revelation knowledge that you need. Same way it is for us, ladies and gentlemen. There is a lot of fighting going on in the spirit realm about us and around us, and we need to be cognizant of this and don't give up. The angels continue to fight on our behalf as long as we continue to pray. So when somebody come and try to tell you that it won't work, they're just trying to weaken your faith. They're cutting you down, trying to distract you so you can give up. Next thing you know, you'll give up and say, well, it don't work. And so my point here again is that we have to be cognizant of these things and recognize that there is a constant fight going on. Yes, over you. You may not think you're that important, but to God you are. He says, for a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. That's what happened to Daniel. After a little 21 days. Well, for some people, I mean, 21 days, you know, it's not that much, but you get the idea. There was an interference taking place, and so they had to fight. The angels fought, and they brought victory. And of course, Daniel received what he needed. Verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. Here it is again, telling us, hold on, don't give up. Now let's look at another situation and get a little more insight as to what can happen. And, yes, sir, go ahead, please.
I was just thinking about this scripture here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life, and that we may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He says, you know, just like we believe we have eternal life, we keep that confidence, we got to believe that we ask according to His will, we're going to receive those things as well.
Yes.
You have to build yourself up in the faith. Otherwise, the enemy comes, like that seed, takes it out of their heart, as they should believe and be healed and be converted, like Christ talked about.
You're absolutely correct. Yes, yes, that's it. So you have to build yourself up. You know, in the book of Jonah, the second chapter, if we go to verse, let's see, chapter 2, in verse 7 and 8, let's look at verse 7 and 8, and then we're going to break it down and see how it applies in our situation. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto you, unto thine holy temple. This is Jonah speaking, verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now here he's using this is a metaphorical expression. And so what he's explaining is that there are times when you're going through a certain process, and it may be against you. It looks hopeless, but you know what God promises, so you're going to hold on to His promises. Well, in this case, Jonah coined an expression, and he called that opposition, or the negative view that you're seeing or circumstance you're experiencing, he called that lying vanity. In other words, it is vanity. because the word of God is ultimately going to have success over anything of the enemy anyway. And so it is lying, it is just a fake. And so you may feel pain, you may feel hear some bad news, but you're going to hold on to what God has given you. That gentleman who was going to get his daughter raised, they said, "Oh, I trouble him with master anymore. Your daughter's already dead." And Jesus said, "Only believe." Right away, he said, "Only believe. Don't lose sight of what I told you. You hold on to that." And of course, he went and got his daughter raised to life. But here it is in verse 8, he says, "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." So if you pay attention to the destruction that the enemy is using, whether it is pain or whatever kind of suffering or whatever kind of lack, whatever you do, if you start to magnify that, then you're going to end up forsaking the mercy that God was here on the process of displaying, or should say giving you or providing for you. And so the point here is that he says, "But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So he's saying, listen, I'm going to go ahead and hold on to the promises that I've made. I'm going to hold on to what you have told me. I'm not going to back down. And you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, when you take this approach, yes, you're going to run around and roughshod over the enemy. And folks can say, "Well, how did that happen?" Well, I'm trying to explain. You just go ahead and you follow the Lord, and he comes through just like he promised. Hebrews chapter 6 give us additional insights in that area. Now let's turn to it. Hebrews chapter 6. And coming up to the point where we're going to take another break, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 and just read this quickly. Because it says in verse 12. Well, let's pick it up in verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So here it is, you're doing what he's called you to do. All right? Verse 11. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." And so the point is this, we ought to behave in the like manner, that's self-explanatory. And verse 12 says, "That you be not slothful." So when you go contrary to that, that's being slothful. "So that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So we're going to stick to our guns, so to speak, and follow the example of those who have gone on before us. That's one of the reasons why sometimes I tell people stories about what has happened. You want to follow their example. "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Yes, you're going to receive it. It's on its way. And the enemy is there trying to convince you that it's not going to work. But you're going to hold on, and you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, that he's going to come through just like he said. It's a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen, you stop and think about that we could have received if we just realized we need to hold on. So I just thought I'd go ahead and just put that in just before we go ahead and take a break. We're going to open the floor now, ladies and gentlemen, for anybody who has any question, comment, or suggestion. Thank you, sir.
I was thinking another way of looking at that passage in Jonah is that the lion vanity was for him to think he could run away from God's purpose that he had for him and to be blessed. And once he became in line with that, God's plan, God will be there for him. He'll be there for us as well. He saw Joppa. He wanted to go down there and get away from what God called him to do. That led to trouble. And oftentimes our trouble can come the same way when we put our backs on what really is identified in God's word. That can bring about a trial just like a different owner. We can cry unto God and see that our vanity, and we're forsaking his mercy, the same thing.
Yes, You know, and so yes, that's an interesting way to note, you know, to observe that, because here it is. Well, part of it was his pride. You know, he believes, but he knew. He said, well, because he told the Lord, he said, I knew you would have, you know, repented if the folks turned. So part of it was the pride. He just didn't expect those folks, he didn't really at least have the desire for them to be, at least the punishment to be delayed at that point in time. But he doesn't understand the big picture, because, you see, God is merciful to all, including those folks. And so that's why he sent you to them in the first place. So let them mess up after that. No, no, you don't run away. You go do what he tells you to do. And so he got a free fish ride back, though. And so, you know, what we find then is that, you know, all this now is documented for us to be able to learn from it. So very insightful, observation. Now, there are obstacles to receiving from the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to be careful we don't give people the impression that everything's going to be fine and honky-dory. No, you're going to have some fight. You're going to have some opposition. And you're going to have to learn to, again, stick to the word, stick to your gun, so to speak, and just hold on to what the promises are. And what we find, you know, one of the easiest opposition is to listen to naysayers. They seem to just come out of the woodwork all of a sudden. If you think we're not observing, they come now and they have a negative viewpoint. Oh, it's not going to... Well, I'm going to tell you why it won't work. And they are very convinced that it won't work. All of a sudden, they are interested. And so you have to be mindful of that approach from the enemy. Another one is... you have to recognize now that the devil is trying to tell you, oh, that's not what they promised. He didn't really promise, you know. Or, for example, that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit went out with the apostles and so on. No, we have the Bible now, so we don't need the gifts anymore. Who told you that? And so he fooled a lot of people with that. Another one is that, well, God knows my heart, and therefore they can continue to remain in sin and at the same time expect receive from the Lord. No, whatsoever you ask of him, you receive of him, because you keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so we have to be mindful of that. You have to shun all manner of sin or works of the flesh. And whenever you recognize our issue, if you're going astray, then you confess right away. Don't make it sound like, you know, God is allowing you to go through stuff unnecessarily. No, look, you see where you mess up. And just tell him right away, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. Openly confess to him. And you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll get relief quickly. Now, part of what, and we touched on this earlier, but, you know, by the way, we have that on one of the recordings called Healing Workbook. It's mixed with music, but the point is that there are scriptures that when you meditate on them, they cause you to focus on the capacity to receive from the Lord. And so those are what I call faith-building scriptures. You know, for example, in, let's see, Matthew chapter 4. Did I get that right? I think that's Mark, but let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and see what it says. Verse 23, I think that's Mark. No, that's Mark 11. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. All right. So here it is. Yes, in verse 23 of Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus was going about doing what? Preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Notice he was doing all three. He was preaching, teaching, and, of course, healing. And there are times, for example, you know, in the information that we pass out, when I talk about the theory, you know, healing is available. It gives you the theory of how it works, what God is doing, and so on, what the scripture says and what the promises are. But healing workbook now is there to cement this into your mind so you'll get this on the forefront, because whatever you talk about or think about is magnified in your eyes. So here it is, Jesus was going around and he was preaching and teaching and then healing all manner of diseases. Now there are times when people just want to go ahead, well, I want to receive my healing. Well, you don't want any teaching, you know, sometimes you need to get some teaching along with it. And there are times when you're going to have to preach to them before to let them realize, hey, listen, this is the way it is supposed to work. And so after all those days he was going around doing these things, that's, by that time their faith is built up and they're ready to receive. And it will work the same way for us. You'll find that once you go around and you keep teaching this stuff over and over and people get hold of it, then after a while you'll find that they can quickly receive. And I've noticed that in just dealing with, you know, folks from time to time. So that's it. He's going around doing the whole thing. And he says in verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. And they followed him great multitudes, and so on. You get the idea. But the point here is that he was preaching and teaching and healing. And so that's part of what we want to make sure we're doing. We're preaching and proclaiming these things, and we're teaching folks so they understand how it was supposed to work. And then we can, you know, pray for them and they will receive the healing afterwards. And so that's part of the process in which we are applying this and so on. Let's look at another scripture, by the way. Mark chapter 1, the book of Mark, the first chapter and verse 21. Because the point again is that we want to make sure that we are, you know, given the whole counsel of God. And so they went on to Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Here it is again. He went into the synagogue. What was he doing? Teaching. Very important. And I think Brother Thomas had emphasized that before, and so we, you know, I'm in agreement here again. You know, the point is that we need to be teaching more about these things so that folks realize that the promises, the seven promises, are available to the church today. Not just salvation. That's one of them. That's true. But what about provision for us? He promised he's going to provide all of our needs, not some. That's what I try to convey to the folks over in Africa. And not just there, wherever I go, really. Because everybody needed it. You know, you have all these promises. And so we're going to go ahead and just emphasize we have to teach this stuff and encourage people along that line and so on. And so he says in verse 21 again, and they went unto Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath he entered in the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Notice the difference now. People are going to recognize the difference. Once you come with sound information, they're going to recognize the difference. And if this is what happened, they were astonished at his doctrine. No, he's not like the others, just if and buts are guessing. No, he knew what he was talking about. And when we study these things and get saturated with this on our mind, and you just call God up on you, people are going to be just as astonished when they hear what you're saying and inclined to go search things out and then drill on everything you know they're receiving also. So this is all a part of it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's touch on another one. In the book of Luke, the fourth chapter. So we just Matthew, Mark. Well, here it is, Luke chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 3. And he says, and the devil said unto him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone that be made bread. Now notice there, he's trying to tempt the devil. I think Brother Thomas was emphasizing that in two studies ago. And you know, Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Notice now, what did he do? He called upon the word, he's applying the word. You know, you see his example? That's what we're learning. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the word of God. And so the point here is that we're going to learn to what? Follow his example and do just like he did. So the devil take him up to a high mountain, because he didn't quit right then, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this will I give unto you. Notice that now. He has things to give. And he has been giving stuff to a lot of people who have sold themselves to him. Now, we are opposed to him. And so the point here is, again, we don't need to know what the whole story. They would say around here, the old ball wax. We need to know the whole story. And of course, he drove into the city and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he went ahead. You shall give, you know, for it is written, he shall give his angel charge over you. So that's where he was there, going to try to tempt people to just do something foolishly. No. If there's an accident, that's a different story. But you don't go out deliberately and try to tempt the Lord. You get the idea. And so what I'm saying is that even look what he was doing here with Jesus. If he's doing that with Jesus, he will do it with us, ladies and gentlemen. And therefore, we need to be cognizant of this and recognize his little tricks as he come with them. One more, let's quickly, before we coming up to a break. Acts chapter 10. And let's see, verse 38. Because this should really stir our minds so we grasp fully what our role should be. In verse 38, it says, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What was he doing? He was going about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It says he what? He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. You ever stop to think about it? We may not have used that expression, but he has anointed us also with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's how we accomplish these things. And so here it is, he has anointed us. And there, it is our responsibility then to go and oppose the things that the enemy is trying to establish. When you think about it, you know, not really, from my viewpoint, really, you know, if it's in the scripture, I believe in the Lord for it, I'm going to go for it. And so my point here again is that that's what he did through Jesus, and he continues really, as the scripture says, through the apostles, and of course by extension through us. And that's part of what we are doing now. And we have been anointed. We need to be cognizant of that. And that's one of the reasons why I always say we have to guard over anointing. No, we can't just lay careless, hang with us anybody, and so on. It will seep out and leak out, really. Technically speaking, just like it did with Samson. Yes, Samson hung around the wrong people until after a while the spirit said, we're not going to stick with you long. Well, it will happen to us too if we're not careful. And so we have to guard it. That's what I mean to say, guard your mind. Don't let anything come in your mind and stuff like that. How do you do that? Well, through songs and, you know, constant prayer and so on, fasting occasionally and so on. Get the idea? And so we'll talk more about this. But all of this, ladies and gentlemen, comes under the big umbrella of showing us how to receive from the Lord. And we have some more scriptures we're going to look at, because you want to saturate your mind with scriptures. Saturate your mind with the promises of God. So that when it is time for you to receive from him, you have no doubt it's there. It's just coming off your lips. Anyway, at this point, I can open the floor, please, for anybody who has any questions, comments, or suggestions. Thank you. All right. Now, when we come to God, we must believe that he will respond to us positively. The just shall live by faith. You know, and I like to use the expression live in faith, because you can have what I call dead faith. you know, you believed at one point but no longer hold on to it, no, live in faith. So my point here is that he guarantees certain victory, and we need to search the scriptures to see exactly how we ought to collaborate in it with him. All things are possible, he says, to those who believe. So the real challenge really is to us believing. All things are possible to those who believe. Now, which of course, again, it was according to his will, because you cannot believe outside of the scope of the promise. And of course, like the Apostle Paul, you can say, Lord, I can do all things out through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, strengthens me. And so you have all this in, you know, in on your thinking and your understanding and so on. We want us to be mindful of this, ladies and gentlemen, and just fill your mind up. I like that expression, you know, water the word. You constantly, well, you hear the promise. And then you're going to show the enemy when he comes now, when he tries to tell you it won't work. He said, look at what he promises along with these things. And you just go ahead and quote those scriptures to him. Same way Jesus did. And you're going to find, ladies and gentlemen, that over time you're going to learn to receive and to receive and to receive and to receive even more. Now, let's see how much time we have. Okay, we'll touch on this a little more. Because living faith, ladies and gentlemen, requires us to live a life of holiness. If our conscience do not condemn us, in fact, where's that scripture again? If our conscience does not condemn us, then we know we're going to receive the promise. I know it's in 1 John somewhere, but or one of those letters. But the point is that if our conscience does not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God, and therefore we will receive. In fact, I think Brother Thomas had touched on that earlier, that scripture. But the point here is that we are going to pursue a life of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And so the point here is that we know, and really, if we're off base, what is the mechanism to show us? Our conscience. Let us know, hey, listen, you know, you're really out of line. Repent, go back, tell the Lord you're sorry, and so on. Just lean on him, apply yourself according to his word, and you'll find that he will come through on your behalf. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he has made a lot, when you stop and think about it, a lot of provisions for us. A lot. A lot. And so it is up to us then now to start to drill down and try to search and to seek to make sure then we give ourselves the opportunity to just receive the things of the Lord. And he has a lot. And by the way, you know, I know there's the great Roman teaching, the Roman church. They talk about moral poverty and stuff like that, and they talk like it's good to be poor and that kind of, what I say, well, lack of understanding. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, when we have more than enough for us, we can just give abundantly. We can give liberally. And so the point here again is that we need to press through along that line. Now, these things that we are talking about here, they are spiritual matters. No, it's not just, you know, some may get the idea that, well, it's an academic understanding. That's true. But it goes a little further. In John, this 6th chapter and verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profit nothing. So remember, now we're focusing on the spiritual aspect of it. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus was saying, they are spirit and they are life. And so we need to be mindful of this position that we are taking. We're focusing on the spiritual things, as it says elsewhere, focusing on the things that are above. And when you position yourself like that, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find that you receive over and over and over and over again. Zechariah chapter 3. He said, if you walk in with this information that he gives us, along with the instructions he gives you, then you shall have power, or should say position, among those who make decisions. And you're going to find then that you are going to be one of those who are constantly receiving. Zechariah chapter 3, let me read that. That's going to be the last scriptures I read tonight. My point again is that when you start to drill down and apply, you're going to begin to see, ladies and gentlemen, that it's a lot that God has made available to us. Zechariah, okay. And so Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6 and 7. I like to read that whole chapter, but let's, for the sake of time, we're just going. Verse 6, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, hey, he's telling to Joshua. Now listen up, folks, we're eavesdropping on this conversation so that you and I can learn. Same thing. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will keep my charge, then shall you also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I'll give you place to walk among those that stand by. So you're going to be talking, really, and you, when you stop and think about it, your words are going to start, you know, none of them are going to fall to the ground. Why? The angel's going to make sure of that. And verse 8, and you shall judge my house, and you shall also keep my courts, and I will give you place to walk among those that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou you that fellow that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, and I'll give scene switches where he talks about what Jesus is doing. But the point here is, again, as you look at verse 7, he's going to allow us now to start make decisions, and our word will have effect among those that are in authority. Now, it may look like it's just a physical thing, but when you study it deeply, you begin to recognize it's a spiritual matter. And so I just wanted to go ahead and share that with you, but this is also part of what will happen, ladies and gentlemen. You position yourself so that then you can start to what? Receive from the Lord. So I thought I'd just stir us up tonight along this line. This is really on my mind a lot these days. And I want to encourage us to go ahead and drill down a little further. I know there's a lot more we can talk about this subject matter. But I'll just stir us up and just give us really a boost to get going. And encourage you to continue along this line. I want to open the floor, ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who have any questions, comment, or suggestion. Brother Thomas, can you close in prayer, please, when you're ready?
I just want to say a quick comment. You know,
go ahead.
Receiving from the Lord is crucial because it's, you know, nutritious, or it's important for our spiritual growth, and, you know, it strengthens our faith and allows us to live in His will, not just our own. And through His grace, it guide us to, you know, to live in peace and live a purpose and learn how to do what is considered love works and not busy works. You know, we kind of get busybody when we don't have a plan, or when we do have a plan, but it's not aligned with God's will. But it's very overwhelming and appreciative that we actually have somebody who we can trust and depend on. And while God is helping us understand how it's important it is to receive from Him, we have a plan that will never fail or never fold. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you once again for bringing us here on this rest day. We had a long week, but it was very productive, and we're just so thankful that you have given us life and given us the resources to not only keep our household in order, but also be able to help those who are in need. And I just ask that you help us to learn how to be quite better a generous person and a wise individual and a man or woman with sound mind, Heavenly Father, so we can learn how to count our days and just learn how to serve you more or not, just with our own understanding. So I just pray that this day that you enlighten your spiritual word and fill us up with your word so it be considered as spiritual food as we receive it. I pray that we get all the rest that's needed and looking forward to another day serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.